James chapter 1 is where we've been, as we've been looking at the concepts given in verses 1 through 8. So as we begin today, we're actually going to be looking specifically at verse 5. So you'll see it begins here and goes to the period right here. It's another sentence we're going to be looking at. So let's pray, and then we will look straight into what God has for us today. Father, as we look into your word, I pray that you would help us to understand it effectively. I pray that we would see the truths that you have for us in Scripture, that we would trust your word above our feelings, that you would open up Scripture to our eyes, and that you would show us the truth. In your name we pray. Amen. As we've been doing, let's make sure we have the context. We'll begin in verse 1, James chapter 1, beginning of verse 1 says this: James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind, for that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. It may look like at first that verses 2 through 4 don't really have anything to do with verses 5 through 8. Some would hold that they don't. I believe that they do, and I will tell you why. It's because of these words right here: lacking and lacks. Perhaps if you have a King James Version in front of you, you'll see that one is translated differently than the other. One of the benefits of the translation we've been studying through the English Standard Version is that when there is a repeated Greek word, the same word in the Greek, the translators did their best to keep that word, if they could, parallel in the verses, so we can trace that. And so James says that the goal of your patience is that it would have its full effect, and that you may be mature, complete in every way, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, I believe that is a specific tie as he continues this thought process here. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously. So we're going to continue to look at just verse 5 today. And so let's look at verse 5, and let's do our three steps: observation, interpretation, application. Some of you have asked some resources that can help you in these three steps. One is called Blue Letter Bible, blueletterbible.org. is a Bible study tool where you can actually go online, and we've pulled it up in our church service before to show you. But you can go and you can look up these words, and you can find the exact same information that I have. I've done a lot of that research for you. I use a Bible study program called Logos, and that's how I get access to the same information. But blueletterbible.org is free. It's a wonderful Bible study tool there. All right, we're in James chapter 1 and verse 5, and it says, if any of you lacks wisdom. In our observation, we've already gone through who James is, who he's talking to, the situations at hand, purpose of the letter, and all that kind of stuff. And so now we're going to dig straight into this verse, and knowing all that background information like we did last week, we're digging into the words to make sure that we understand and know what these words mean. Words are really the heartbeat of what James uses to communicate, obviously, because it's through the written word. It's the way that God has chosen to reveal himself to us. We want to be careful with these words. Let's just go kind of word by word through this verse and make sure that we understand what's going on here. If. This if is what's called a first-class conditional, which means that it's an assumed state. So you could say, some people would say, since. This is not like just a remote possibility. Hey, if this happens sometime in your life, this is a remote possibility of happening. But if this happens, then here's what you do. This is an assumed state. This is saying this is going to happen in your life since, or if any of you lacks wisdom. Again, this word lacks right here is the same word in verse 4, that you would be lacking in nothing. But If you find yourself in a situation to where you are lacking that wisdom, to where you are lacking the understanding of how you are going to, how you're going to grow through your trials, then you're supposed to ask God. So this ties it in with verse 4 and the word lack there. That brings us to the word wisdom. Wisdom. This really is the theme of James. James has been called a New Testament Proverbs because his theme is wisdom. The wisdom that he's talking about here is knowledge applied. So I'm going to write that down under observation because this is important. Wisdom is knowledge applied. This wisdom that James is talking about is not just knowledge and it's not just actions. It's both. It's the knowledge of saying, this is what I should do, and the action of saying, this is what I am going to do, motivated by the right belief system, and that's where we get wisdom. And so throughout the book, James is constantly going to this concept of believing the truth and knowing the truth and then letting that flow out of your life in the right actions. Wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, and we'll talk about what kind of wisdom here in just a minute when we get to interpretation. Let him, this is a command. If you find yourself in this situation of lacking wisdom, let him, that's a command, ask God. So you're going to run to God, let him ask God, that would be in prayer, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it shall be given him. Now, something that we're going to do is we're going to simplify this sentence. Okay, I'm going to try that again because I don't know if you can read that. We're going to simplify the sentence. So here's a sentence simplified. If you lack, ask God and it will be given to you. This is the information that James wants you to know. If you lack, ask God and it'll be given to you. But he gives you a very specific thing that you lack. If you lack wisdom, you're going to ask God. And then he tells you, let's go back up to the verse. He tells you a little bit about this God. Whoops. He tells you a little bit about this God. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, this God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it shall be given him. So let's look at this phrase and understand what this phrase is saying here. This God who gives generously to all without reproach. First word we have to understand is this word generously. And this other one is the word reproach. What does this mean? This word generously is very interesting. I'm going to teach you a term that you may never use the rest of your life, but you need to know what it is. Okay, it's what happens when a Greek word only shows up one time in all of Scripture. You know, many times we'll say, okay, this word is also seen in this book, in this verse, in this book, in this verse, and Paul uses this word more than any other person, all that kind of stuff. For instance, we can see this word here also was used back in verse 4. But this word generously is only used one time in all of Scripture. It's called a homologamina. And that means that it's the word that's only used once. So there are a couple options as to what this word means. Generally, it means to speak of generosity or an outpouring of somebody's heart generously. There's no holding back, just giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. There's also another way you could translate that, and that is with the concept that the person is giving without even thinking twice about it. They're not torn up about giving. There's no second thought. It's their first priority. They're giving with a single mind. They have no mental reservation. They have no mental hesitations. It's like the need comes up, and they automatically give to meet that exact need without even thinking twice about it. There's no deliberation. Okay, no deliberation. So the first way we could translate this is the word generous. As it's translated here, the second word is we'll say without hesitation. Well, which one of these options is it? Well, you're free to choose. They both are true about God. The question is, which one is James talking about here? It is true that God gives generously and above and beyond anything that we could ever ask or think. We see that in Scripture. It also is true that God gives to his children without hesitation, without reservation, without thinking twice, with that single-mindedness of giving to his children. So we'll have to decide which one of those we want to choose here when we try to interpret what James is telling us. And then he gives generously or without hesitation to all who ask, without reproach. Have you ever had somebody give you something and expect something in return? Perhaps they hold it over your head. Perhaps they give you what you thought was a gift, and later you found out that that gift has really something tied to it. So this means without any strings attached. There are no strings attached to what God is giving. God does not give us things and look down on us for it. It also is the concept without reproach, that there are no strings attached, in the sense that God is not judging us for asking. There's nothing that is no negative aspect that's a part of God's gifts, whether that be further strings that are attached in the future. God says, listen, I'll give you this if you give me this, a quid pro quo. There is no reproach. There is no strings attached to God's gift. And also it is done without God looking down at us, or without judgment, you could also say. Without judgment. And then it ends with a promise. And it shall be given him. It will be given him. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him command, ask God, this God who gives generously without hesitation to all who ask, without any strings attached, without any judgment. And when you ask, what is it? Is this saying anything you ask? No, it's speaking wisdom. And this wisdom will be given. Look at this. God gives generously. It will be given him, but he must ask. Okay, that's kind of our observation. That's what it's saying. So what we're going to do is I'm going to erase a little bit of this, and we're going to talk about interpretation. In other words, since that's what it says, what does that mean for us? Let's take that and let's interpret it a little bit about what James is saying using those words. It helps us in the interpretation knowing that this wisdom, what is this wisdom that he's referring to? What is this wisdom that James is referring to? Well, it's the wisdom to see trials as God sees them. These things are happening in my life, like we just referred to back in verses 1 through 4. We've been dispersed, and I'm having trouble in this suffering, seeing this trial as God sees it in my life. Lord, I need your, we've been saying this a lot, your perspective. God, I need your perspective in this. This is a very important word. God, I need your perspective in this trial. Give me that wisdom, that knowledge that you have that's going to help me see this. Another thing that James is telling them is that the wisdom that we are seeking should be sought from God. Sought from God alone. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask books, TV shows, friends. No, it says God. Let him ask God. Very important. Let him ask God, because God, secondly, is sourced. Wisdom is sourced from God. The reason that we need to seek wisdom from God alone is because wisdom is sourced from God alone. The wisdom that we're seeking is not from anything other than God himself. And so we need to make sure that when we are looking for answers, we are looking in the right place. It is not wrong to ask questions. It's never wrong to ask questions, as long as you are seeking answers in the right place. As long as you're seeking answers in the right place. Remember the story of Job, where Job questioned God? God's answer was, all of this is happening because I am God and you are not. And Job had questions, and he sought answers from God exactly like he should have. And once God gave him that answer, his responsibility was to align under the purpose of God. The answers that we receive need to come from God. Not only that, but the answers, or we should say wisdom, let's say wisdom here. Let's anchor this in the wisdom. Wisdom comes from the character of God. Wisdom comes from the character of God. It's the character of God that James drops his anchor in. Look at this phrase right here. Who gives generously to all without reproach. Look at that wonderful phrase. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God and it'll be given to him. But it's not just any God. It's a God who gives generously and without hesitation to all who ask, with no strings attached and no judgment. God does not look down on you for seeking wisdom. So he anchors this request in realizing that this wisdom comes from the character of God. God's answer to your prayer for wisdom is anchored in his character. So let's deal with this word generously. Generously. I'm going to kind of challenge you a little bit to look at this word as the second option without hesitation. That in no way means that God is not a generous God. But this word in the book of Ephesians is used to talk about singleness of mind, of having a purpose. The root word, not this exact word. This is the only time this exact word is used, but it comes from the root, which means single or unique or one. And the reason that I believe James says that God is a God who gives to you without even thinking twice, without being, here's a hint, without being double-minded, is because, let's go back up to the context here. Look at this. I'm going to highlight some words here to help you see what I'm talking about. If this means not double-minded, then it makes sense in the context. God is not thinking twice. He's not torn up about whether or not he's going to give this to you, because God gives right away without any question in his mind. He doesn't even think twice about it, because the person who's asking in faith can't be doubting either, because the one who doubts is like the way the sea driven tossed by the wind. That person must not suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded. God wants to come, God is coming to you saying, I want to give, and I'm not double-minded about it. I am not thinking twice about it. The minute you ask, I'm giving you this wisdom. I'm not thinking twice about it. I'm not confused about it. I'm not going to hold it back. I'm ready to give, but you have to come with a singularity of mind too. Now, the reason that I make that argument is simply from the context here. And you can disagree with that and just say that refers to God being generous. And that's perfectly fine, because that is true. But I believe that that's a tie here to the context as James is making these plays on words. Okay. Generously. Wisdom is sourced in God. It's sought, needs to be sought from God. And it really flows out from the character of God. Now, let's go to application. Let's go to application here. If observation is what the text says, interpretation, what does the text mean? Application is what does the text mean to me? And so let's look at some application and see what we need to walk away with from here. First of all, I need to recognize that I have a need. I have a need. And that need is wisdom. I have a need, and that need is wisdom. So my first step is to recognize that need. My second step is, now that I have a need, what do I need to do? I need to ask. When I have this need for wisdom in trials, I then need to ask for wisdom. I have the need of wisdom, and now I ask for wisdom. In times in life, I'm not sure where to turn when I'm struggling, when suffering seems too hard, when I'm struggling too much, and I need to know, God, why, where, how, all of these things. I have a need for wisdom, and that need will be answered when I ask for that wisdom. The second thing that I want to focus on my application is, what do I need to believe about the character of God during these times of suffering? What are some things that I need to believe about the character of God during these times of suffering? So I'll just list a couple for you here that James gives us in this verse. And one is that God is a giving God. God is not holding back things from me. God, in his nature, is a giving God. For God so loved the world that he gave. God is a giving God. Number two, God is a generous God. God is a generous God who doesn't think twice about meeting your need. He's not up there trying to make up his mind whether or not he's going to help you. He is generous in the fact that he is giving you exactly what you need when you need it, maybe even giving you more than you will ever need. Now, God is a God who gives, thirdly, without finding fault. With no strings attached. We put no strings attached. God is not trying to earn your love. God is giving things to you, not because he has some need to earn your love, or because maybe if he gives you enough, you'll give something back to him. Those are the ways in which sinful humans act. No, God is giving over and over and over again, and finding no fault in those who need wisdom, because we're all human. And he is giving with no strings attached. And four, it is in the character of God to be giving, to be generous, giving without finding fault, no strings attached. And God answers. We can be confident in the promise that those who come praying for wisdom will find answer. Number three, and this goes a little bit with number one, but I am weak. I need God. I am weak. I need God. He's waiting to answer me. I am weak. I need God. Fourthly and lastly, God should be the source of my wisdom. What happens when I see something in Scripture that contradicts the way I'm living, or contradicts what I want to believe in my flesh, or perhaps contradicts what I'm reading on the news, or contradicts what I'm being told on TV? God should be the source of my wisdom. And I would even get stronger than that and say must. God must be the source of my wisdom. I wanted to end by giving one parallel passage in Matthew, which James kind of alludes to a little bit. Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to highlight as we go here. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you will find. It will be given. Knock, it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and the one who knocks will be opened. Listen what Jesus anchors his promise in beginning verse 9. Or which one of you, if his son asks for a bread, will give him a stone? Or which, if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, who are worldly, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Anchored in the character of God. If we give good things to our children, to those that we love, and we are sinful, how much more is our Heavenly Father waiting to give generously, single-mindedly, without any strings attached, wisdom to those who ask? What a wonderful verse of Scripture.